Why don't I introduce myself to the newcomers here? My name is John Pfeiffer, and I'm a retired professor. You may still see me around on campus because I do teach one class in the seminary. Our prayers have been requested for the people who are being confronted by Hurricane Florence. We pray. Heavenly Father, you are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the one who provides for all people and all creatures that you have created. We come before you, therefore, on behalf of those who are being confronted by this hurricane. We ask that you would be with them, that you would protect them, protect the people, protect the responders. We also ask that you would help them and us all to submit to your holy will. We do not know what it is that you intend, but we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. Help us all to recognize that you are a loving God and that all that you do in this world is aimed toward bringing people to Christ. Keep us steadfast in this faith and hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Hear the word of the Lord, which is found in the book of the prophet Amos, chapter 8. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea and from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but they shall not find it. In that day, the fair virgins and the strong young men shall faint from thirst. Those who swear by the sin of Samaria, who say, as your God lives, O Dan, and as the way of Beersheba lives, they shall fall and never rise again. Imagine that you were suffering from some fatal disease and that there is a cure for the disease. But those who are caring for you cannot find the medication. They've searched all over the place, but to no avail. The Word of God is the cure for what ails us, for the disease of sin and death. In the days of Amos, Israel was ignoring and even despising the word of the Lord. And now the prophet tells them that the cure for their spiritual disease is going to be taken away from them. The time will come when the word of the Lord will no longer be proclaimed. They will search and not find it. Therefore, their disease will destroy them. They shall fall and never rise again. Okay, that was then, and this is now. History may be interesting to some people, but to others it's kind of a yawner. Until they discover that, and perhaps too late, that history repeats itself. If only they had paid attention, they might have learned a lesson and found a way to avoid the mistakes of the past as they see them coming on. And that's especially true of the history in the Bible. Now let's hear our text again, but with a few changes. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord Jesus, that I will send a famine in the land, not a famine of bread, nor thirst for water, but of hearing the words of Jesus. They shall wander from the Atlantic to the Pacific, and from Canada to Mexico. They shall run here and there, seeking the word of Jesus, but shall not find it. In that day, the young the fair virgins and the strong young men shall faint from thirst. They shall fall and never rise again. A little more sobering, isn't it? The United States is not Israel. Israel was a chosen people of God, chosen to bring forth the Savior of the world. So the comparisons aren't perfect. But there are some similarities. Like Israel in the days of Amos, we are a nation that has been successful in battle, prosperous, and wicked. We try to maintain the religious facade. There are many who claim that this is a Christian nation. Pious politicians, or should I say politicians piously, say, "May God bless the United States of America." Now, some of them are sincere. Some of them are truly Christian. But many are as duplicitous as was Israel. Isaiah said it, Jesus said it, and we can repeat his words. "This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far from me." Israel had turned Jehovah worship into idolatry. Likewise, many churches in America have been turning Jesus worship into a form of idolatry. Gradually, they've been changing and trashing everything that Jesus stands for until the only thing that's left is his name. This is actually more deadly than paganism, because it lulls people into a false sense that all is well because they can claim the name Christian. And now we see the beginnings of judgment. For there is a growing famine in the land, a famine of the Word of God. In many places, people are fainting from spiritual hunger and thirst, and they don't know where to go and get a drink. A person could wander from the Atlantic to the Pacific, from the Canadian border to the Mexican border, and not find the true teachings of Jesus. And yet here you are. Of the 326 million people in the United States, a great many of whom are wandering to and fro, searching for the truth, here you are, a mere 160 or so. Now, some among that 326 million have found churches that teach some of the truths of Jesus, but have trashed other truths. And yet, here you are. Here, where the whole truth and nothing but the truth is being taught. Consider the population of the world, 7.6 million, or billion, a great many of whom know nothing about Jesus. And yet here you are, all 160 of you, knowing Jesus and being filled with his teachings. You don't have to go searching from north to south, from east to west. You know exactly where to go to find the word of the Lord Jesus. There is no thirst. You are a privileged few. There is only feasting for you, feasting on the bread of life, drinking the water of life. How blessed you are. You will not fall, for the Lord Jesus will hold you up. As false doctrine continues to swallow up the churches of our nation, may Jesus keep us steadfast in his word. May he continue to give us this feast. And And may he make us a light unto the nations, a beacon set high on the rock of ages, so that when people are searching in the darkness, they may see the light and come and join us in our feast. We conclude with the singing of hymn 261.